We think of Rosie Perez as a friend of our show, and so it's only natural that we would want her to join us on one of our Food Fridays. She's come by in the past to discuss her roles on Broadway and in film, as well as for directing a documentary called Yo Soy Boricua, Pa Que Tu Lo Sepas. And she's even been a guest host on this show. But this time we thought that we would learn a bit about her life in terms of food, the foods that she grew up with and the foods she's come to know. Whatever the excuse, it's always a pleasure to welcome Rosie Perez back to our show. Hi.
Hi, Leonard. How are you?
I'm okay. Were you a picky eater when you were a kid?
Yes and no. I was a natural-born greedy slob, and I love food. It's my favorite pastime. And I would eat almost anything. I loved all vegetables, except for boiled beets and boiled Brussels sprouts. And I even ate liver. And I just loved it. The only thing that I didn't like was steak. We couldn't afford steak unless it was chuck steak. And most Latin people like to burn the heck out of meat.
It was kind of like shoe leather.
Yes, exactly. But it's really good. Carne frita. It's like fried beef chips. Really good. But when I saw a steak for the first time, and I cut it open and I saw it red, I was so disgusted by it. And I think I was about 6 or 7, and I refused to eat it. And I was like, oh, it's bleeding. What is going on? I don't want to eat it. And
have you changed?
Not too much, no.
You don't order medium rare steaks?
Not at all. Not at all. It has to be burned.
What about the vegetables? When I was a kid, so many of the vegetables my mother cooked came out of packages of from the frozen food case. Did you like those?
Oh, you got frozen food? Good for you. We couldn't afford the frozen food case. That was luxury. We got canned vegetables, and they already...
Oh, we had those too, especially the wax beans.
The wax beans are the worst. They're just the worst. I can't stand them. I was not a fan of overcooked vegetables. And so when you open up the can, they're already overcooked. And it was really sad because I wasn't privy to fresh produce. It was very, very expensive. We would have a lot of oranges in our house and mangoes, but we didn't have strawberries. We didn't have blueberries. We didn't have fresh spinach a lot of the times. It was just that canned spinach that was just horrible, but still I ate it, because I still loved vegetables.
But then you went back and forth to Puerto Rico, didn't you? Did you eat vegetables there?
A lot of Puerto Ricans, even on the island, do not eat a lot of fresh vegetables, believe it or not. Their idea of a salad is, avocado and tomato, and that's good, but it's iceberg lettuce along with it, and that just kills it. You would have maybe rice with your peas and carrots with your rice and so forth, but not a lot of vegetables. We would have a lot of fresh fish, a lot, especially in my hometown is Aguadilla, so it's right on the beach. And we would go to the beach to swim, and then there would be a little fish shack right there, and it's still there, actually, and we have fresh fish.
That sounds great. Now, you mentioned that you didn't eat a lot of fruit, and you say that Del Monte's fruit cocktail doesn't count.
No, it doesn't.
My mother used to serve that, too, and I especially remember the little cherries, the little bits of cherry.
Yes. In those. Yeah, we would fight over the cherries.
Yeah. They were the best parts. And then the wax beans, we didn't like them, but we played a game with them. We would suck them in the kind of like...
Oh, that's disgusting.
Well, you got to do something to get past that taste.
Yes, exactly.
So you grew up with your aunt and other people, but was your aunt a good cook?
My aunt was an excellent cook, and I learned everything from her. And I have to humbly say, I'm an excellent cook as well.
You stood in the kitchen and watched her?
I stood in the kitchen and watched her. What I would do was I would pull up the kitchen chair next to the stove and stand on it and just watch her. And I always, can I wash the rice? We always washed our rice.
Which you should.
And, and she would allow me to, stir the beans. Because back then we didn't use canned beans. You would use beans that you would boil first soak overnight and then boil all day. And you have to keep watching it. And I love doing that. And I love chopping the bell pepper and the onion and garlic for our sofrito, which is the basis of a lot of Caribbean cooking. She let me do little things like that. And it wasn't until I was 12 years old that I cooked my first full meal. I was used to break my heart seeing her work three jobs a day over in the factories in Bushwick that are now luxury lofts. And so one day I just decided I'm going to cook dinner. And the rice was burned. The chicken was not fully cooked. And she ate the rice and she kind of like picked at the chicken. And that was it. That was the genesis of, and I started cooking a lot of dinners after that.
Now, for the people in our audience who don't know, can you explain sofrito a little in a little more detail?
Sure. Sofrito is a blended mix of onion, Spanish onion, green bell pepper, cilantro, culantro, a tomato, and that's optional, that's to taste, and you put it together with a little bit of water in a blender so it has a mushy consistency. My little trick is that I add a little bit of Spanish olive oil too, because it gives it a really nice taste. And what you do is that in a pan with some olive oil, you cook it very slowly, and sometimes you add a can of tomato sauce with it until it's like a brownish red coloring.
And it's become popular with even chefs who don't come out of a Latino background. Thomas Keller cooks things with sofrito. So,
really?
But you've actually provided us a recipe with one of your aunt's special dishes, boiled eggplant with ground beef. What makes it memorable?
It makes it memorable for me because if I had a bad day at school or if I was upset over something, she would, you know, tell me, oh, I'm going to make you the eggplant with the boiled eggplant with the white rice and the beef. And I loved it. I loved it. And also on Saturdays sometimes, before a lot of company would come over, she would make me a little pot of it. And it's just so delicious and so gooey and good. I still make it to this day.
In case you don't recognize that voice, I'd be stunned if you don't recognize it. It's Rosie Perez who's here with me. We're talking about food because food, to some degree, actually is how we understand our cultural identity. Now, I don't know how much of the food you grew up with came specifically out of Puerto Rico, how much of it came out of Brooklyn, how much of it just came out of growing up in the United States, because you've been describing the full range.
Right.
But do you see it as playing a role in making you who you are?
Well, absolutely, because a lot of time spent in the kitchen with family, you also hear family stories. You have the wonderful anecdotes and the humor and the jokes and everything that happens around a stove, not just around the kitchen table, really made me who I am today. And also the care and of continuing the traditional cooking methods of my aunt, because also going to Puerto Rico, I would see maybe a slight difference here or there, but it was pretty much the same way. So when I would go to Puerto Rico and visit with my father and my stepmom, you know, it was easy to ease into a conversation with my stepmother.
I grew up very poor as well in Williamsburg. And going to a restaurant was a really special occasion.
Oh, yeah.
When did you start going to restaurants? Because you've talked about having a deep love of restaurants.
I'm infatuated with going to restaurants, but it has to be a really good restaurant. And my first restaurant that I went to was a Mexican restaurant. And I never had Mexican food. And I think, I don't remember what I told Melissa. I think I was around 7 or 8 years old. And I was like, what is this green stuff? And they go, this is guacamole. And everyone laughed at the table. And I was like, I love it. I want some more. Why are you frying these breads? Chips, and they're like, those are tortillas. And I didn't know, you know, because we're Caribbean, we're not, you know, from Mexico, and the hot sauce, everything I loved. And I also loved the service. I loved everything about going to that restaurant, because for us, going to a restaurant meant Chinese takeout, and it just cemented in my heart.
I'll bet you if you went back to that restaurant, you'd think that isn't a very good restaurant.
You're probably right.
The things we thought that were really special when we were kids turned out to have been like the most basic version.
Yes.
So you, now I assume you like all kinds of restaurants, although you don't like places that where you get a really big, thick steak.
Yes, no, I don't. But, you know, what I do is I, you know, if my agents, if they say, oh, you, what would you like? Can I send you a gift? I go, no, take me to Le Cirque. You know, it's just something like that. And I just really enjoy fine food. And dark chocolate is a big passion of mine as well.
And when you were a kid, you had a very limited allowance, I gather, but you still spent it on dark chocolate?
Yes, I did. We would get 10 cents a week, and everyone would rush to the corner store and get, you know, the penny candy. And what I would get was the Hershey's special dark chocolate, the little miniature size ones, because that's what I could afford. And I would get a big fat pickle from the pickle barrel. Remember those?
Mm-hmm. And 5 cents.
Yes, and I would also get salted fish. I loved salted herring. I don't know why. I was a weird kid. And I would.
You're
eat.
A Jewish person.
I mean, basically, you know, South Williamsburg to Bushwick. What can I tell you? And I would eat the fish really quickly. But the chocolate was so divine to me that I would make it last till the next day. That little tiny square piece, I would just nibble off and just. Oh, it would be heaven.
Well, right now, of course, you also work, and eating on the road is always difficult. And I don't know what it's like when you're shooting a film. They usually have some kind of catered food that's there. Not, it always looks okay when I'm walking by on the street, but I have no idea whether it's any good.
Well, it depends upon the budget. I've done a lot of low-budget independent films that are wonderful, but the food basically was crap. And so a lot of times on movie shoots, I would bring my own food. You know, but on big budget foods, they spare no expense and the food is divine. But when I was a choreographer and a stage coordinator for hip hop groups, our pit stops would be the Waffle Houses. And sorry, Waffle House, but the food is horrific. It was terrible. And I would lose a lot of weight because I would refuse to eat bad food. I just would. I love it too much, and it would. And I said, I'm insulted. I can't eat this. And they would just crack up. I remember Heavy D, God rest his soul. He thought that was the funniest thing. How can you be insulted by chicken and waffles? I said, well, if they're good chicken and waffles, there's no insult.
But that's why he was Heavy D.
Oh yeah.
Mayor Bloomberg has gotten a lot of flack for wanting to ban the sale of 32-ounce soft drinks. What do you think about that?
I understand his position. I understand his plight. It's just, in my opinion, it's just a little bit misguided because there's a bigger issue here. If you want to control obesity, you know, address the issue of poverty first. There's a lot of people who are poor that cannot afford good food, great produce, fresh vegetables and fruit, you know, and they have a diet of Wonder Bread and that waxy yellow so-called American cheese, and you know, and you don't get to buy chicken breasts because they're more expensive, so you get the chicken wings, and it's easier on a tiny little stove to fry them instead of sticking them in a small oven, and those things should be taken into consideration. One thing that I'm really happy about is that a lot of the farmer markets are now have begun to accept food stamps, and that was heaven sent. And I remember I heard it on NPR, and I was screaming with joy. I was like, thank goodness, thank goodness. And I think it started in Bushwick, actually, too.
Now, you have a book coming out and two films?
Yes, yeah.
What is the book?
The book is basically about my childhood.
Oh, it's a memoir.
It's kind of a memoir.
I'm glad we didn't go into great detail, because you'll come back and we'll talk about that.
Oh, I would love that.
And what about the movies God's Behaving Badly and The Counselor?
Yes, God's Behaving Badly is based on the novel, and The Counselor is a Ridley Scott movie. And I don't know when either of them are coming out, but I filmed both of them last year, and it was really great. And God's Behaving Badly stars Sharon Stone, Alicia Silverstone, Chris Walken, John Turturro, Edie Falco, and The Counselor stars...
And Rosie Perez.
And me, yours truly. And The Counselor is Michael Fassbender and Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz.
Are you planning to make any more films?
Yes, I hope so. Like my food, I am very picky with my work projects as well.
But where are you going to go to eat tonight? Or are you going to cook for yourself?
I'm going to cook. I like to cook a lot, Leonard. I cook almost every single day. Like I said, if I go out to a restaurant, it has to be good. It doesn't have to always be fancy and expensive. It just has to be very good. So I'd rather cook for myself, and I enjoy cooking.
Well, you grew up in a borough that didn't have a lot of great restaurants, but now is the hot restaurant area.
Who
knew? Do you try them all out?
I do. I remember, do you remember Don't Cook Tonight, Get Chicken Delight? Remember that? Mm. That was the only source. But I love that Brooklyn Now is restaurant hot.
Rosie Perez, thank you so much for talking about food and other things on our show again.
Thank you so much for having me once again.